Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Betty and Bob are in the country, and big, exciting things are happening back in the city of Monroe, where their newspaper, The Trumpet, has been the standard bearer against crime and corruption. Bob is convalescing from a serious illness, but the news that ex-chief of police Henderson brought in yesterday about his own resignation from office, about the city manager's resignation, about the new city manager, has succeeded in doing two things. One, Betty and Bob have completely canceled whatever ideas they may have had to sell the Trumpet. And two, Bob is more anxious than ever to return to Monroe and resume active control of his newspaper. Well, this afternoon, as Bob is working in the garden at the back of the house, we join Betty and Claire Evans, the young widow of Bob's star reporter, as they putter around the flower bed in front of the house.
You know, Betty, we've been here hardly more than a week, and it seems to me that the twins have grown inches and put on at least 10 pounds already.
Yes. The country is wonderful.
Oh, they're so happy here. Everybody's happy here.
No, not quite everybody, Claire.
Oh, you mean Bob?
Mm-hmm. Did you take a look at him out there in the garden with that hoe? I'm afraid he's digging up all the roots of everything we've planted.
Yes, he is kind of moody today, isn't he?
He's been moody since we got here.
What's the matter? Doesn't he like it here? It's so beautiful.
Yes, he likes it all right. He'll even admit it's beautiful, but all the rotten things we fought to get rid of in Monroe, Claire, are moving right in again. And Bob wants to go back and get into the thick of the fight.
I guess he can't help wanting that, but that's the kind of man he is. I think that's what Hal used to admire in him so much.
Don't expect him to stay here forever, Claire, but he needs the rest.
I know he does.
He acts as if I put chains around his neck.
Oh, no, Betty.
But if I have to, I will put chains around his neck. He's got to take care of his health. He thinks he's the old Bob, but he isn't. In a couple of months, he may be himself once more, but without those couple of months, I'm afraid of what might happen to Bob.
Yes.
So if he's going to be miserable here, well, you'll just have to be miserable.
Talking about me?
Oh, Bob.
Putting me on the griddle again?
Why, no.
If you don't look like a couple of guilty... Come on, what have you been talking about?
All right. You.
That's better, a confession. Now let's have the rest of it.
Oh, just seems that you're miserable being a country gentleman.
Country gentleman? I'm a farmer. Look at the calluses on my hand from hoeing.
Did you see what you were hoeing? I'm sure there's very little of the garden left.
Now, Betty.
Everybody notices how gloomy you've been lately. Mother and Claire. Even the twins are beginning to wonder what's happening to their father.
Sorry, really I am, but if you think I was being gloomy just now, you're mistaken.
Claire saw you, darling.
Well, I was thinking. When I'm thinking, I always look like that.
You mean thinking depresses you?
I'm afraid I'm in the way here. I'm going to help with dinner.
Betty.
Yes?
All that stuff that Henderson was telling us yesterday about the way they got him to resign as chief of police and the way they got city manager Kellogg to resign and the way they got this new fellow Ellsworth Jameson in. Well, I've been doing a lot of thinking about it, Betty.
Yes?
And the most suspicious part of the whole proceedings is the way Jameson, an outsider, an out-of-towner, got an office. How does the city manager get his job?
Why, he's elected by the council.
Exactly. Now, there are 5 councilmen in Monroe, including the mayor. And the only way that Jameson could have got that job was for 3 of those councilmen to vote him in.
And you think that each one of those councilmen could stand a quiet little investigation of his own?
Exactly. I'm going to call the trumpet later on today and see that Swanson takes care of that. Let's see now. There's Brent and Werner and Chase and Anderson and Mayor Lyon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure the mayor or Brent. Well, Swanson will find out who's back of all this, who's pressing, who are the influences and where they come from. And Henderson will help.
That was a wonderful idea of yours, Bob, making Henderson special investigator for the trumpet.
I'd like to do a little special investigating myself.
Bob.
Oh, now, Betty, don't clamp down on me like that. If I can't even express myself...
I'm sorry, darling. You say what you please, but do what you know is right. Glorious day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking better every minute.
Am I?
Mm-hmm. You don't know what it means to me, Bob. After all those months with you in the hospital and everything seemed black and hopeless.
Oh, darling.
I'm so glad. So terribly glad. So that car's driving in here.
Huh. Quite a fancy affair, isn't it?
Probably somebody who's lost his way.
Chauffeur and only one passenger.
Huh. Is this the Drake estate?
Well, it's not exactly an estate, but it's where the Drakes live.
Take the chip off your shoulder, darling.
Well, my name is Newton. Alfred T. Newton. And if you're Robert Drake...
I am.
And you're Betty Drake...
I am.
Well, I've come to see the both of you. All the way from Seneca.
The state capital?
Yes, I've come all that distance just to see you. I don't suppose you've ever heard of me.
Well, quite frankly, no.
But I suppose you've heard of Walter Humboldt.
Yes, certainly. Humboldt is the publisher of the Seneca News.
That's right. Well, I've been sent down here by the old man himself to talk to you. And I don't mind coming right to the point, either.
Well, what's that?
Well, the old man would like to have a newspaper in Monroe, and he wants to buy the trumpet.
What?
Humboldt wants to buy the trumpet.
That's right. He's not the man to bargain, either. He'll pay whatever you ask for it.
I'm sure he will.
You don't seem very excited about this.
I am, in a way.
Well, your newspaper is for sale, isn't it?
It was, until yesterday.
Oh, you mean you couldn't get a decent buyer?
Yeah.
So you figured it was wiser to let things ride for a while, eh?
That's right.
But you didn't have anybody like Walter Humboldt to make you an offer.
No, I didn't. What would Humboldt do with a trumpet?
Well, that's a fine question. If he bought it, he'd do whatever he pleased with it.
That's the trouble.
What?
I said that's the trouble. Humboldt would do whatever he pleased with it.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I wouldn't like it.
What difference does it make whether you like it or not? You're going out of the newspaper.
I'm not going out.
There's a lot of money in this, Drake.
Is there?
The old man authorized me to offer you $250,000 over and above what you paid for the trumpet.
That'll be a nice profit.
Nice? Well, it's terrific.
But I don't want it.
You don't want it? Are you crazy, man?
I'd be crazy to let Humboldt and his type of journalism take over the trumpet.
Now, wait a minute. Take it easy.
I'm not going to take it easy. And I think it's kind of interesting that Humboldt wants the trumpet so bad.
Well, he just considers it a good business investment.
Does he really?
Well, sure, that's all.
He doesn't want to take the trumpet and turn it into a cheap scandal sheet, bury the important stories, squelch the vital issues, soft-pedal investigation.
Now, look, you can't talk like
that. I am talking like that. I know a lot about Humboldt. Up in the state capital, there are a lot of politicians, good ones and bad ones.
Well, so far as I know, Humboldt has always been in with a bad one.
Oh, that's just false rumor.
Well, I prefer to believe it. So if you don't mind, Mr. Newton, you can go back to the old man and tell him he can't buy the trumpet.
Oh, very well.
You can also tell him not to be too surprised if the trumpet starts going to work on him.
You're a pretty rash young man.
No, as a matter of fact, I'm a very grateful young man.
Grateful?
Yes.
For what?
For your coming down here. You may not realize it, but you've been a great service to me, Mr. Newton.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. Well, goodbye. But I think you're very foolish. Maybe Mrs. Drake will be able to put some sense in your head after I leave. If she does, you can get in touch with me up in Seneca. Or, if you wish, you might contact the old man himself.
Oh, I'll contact him.
Goodbye.
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 Well, Betty, I don't have to explain, do I?
No.
Humboldt wants to buy the trumpet. Humboldt and that bunch of corrupt politicians that have interested themselves in Seneca.
You think they're behind Henderson and Kellogg resigning?
Yes. And they're the ones who got three members of the Monroe City Council to vote Ellsworth Jameson into city manager. Things must be going so well for them in Seneca that they're looking for new worlds to conquer. Betty, we've got a battle on our hands.
Yes.
Do you think we can direct the fight from here?
Well, generals do. From even further away.
Not today, they don't. Not today.
Well, it looks like the Monroe that Betty and Bob struggled so hard to make a better place to live in for all its citizens is slated for an invasion by a corrupt gang of politicians who have already won domination of the state capital. This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station five times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.